Welcome back to all the long-lost souls. Kaf Aleph Amud Beis. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah had said at the beginning of the Perek, Mokom Shenahagu Levarech Yevarech. Shelo Yevarech, Lo Yevarech. In regards to the Megillah, in places where it was the custom to say a bracha, you would say a bracha, in places not. This seems very strange to us, and our Gemara here says, we'll go back a few lines. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 7 lines down in the Gemara in Kaf Aleph Amud Beis. Mokom Shnagu Levarich Yivarich. Omer Abaye Lo Shanu Ela La'achareha. This idea that saying a bracha in the Megillah is merely a matter of minhag, that's talking about the bracha we say at the end. Aval Lifoneha, the bracha that we say at the beginning, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvah Savet Sivanu Al Mikra Megillah. We're not here talking about the fact the three bracha we say at the beginning. We say that bracha, we say the bracha of Shasa Nisim Lavosenu, and we say the bracha of Shechianu. Those brachot are not what's under consideration now. By the way, what is that bracha of Shasa Nisim Lavosenu? Shasa Nisim Lavosenu by Amim Ohim Bazman Hazeh. It's the bracha that we're reciting over the Pirsumei Nisim. But what is the meaning of the bracha? Translate the bracha. Shas Tanisim Lavotenu.
Miracles for our forefathers at this time.
Bayamim Ohem.
Those days in this
time. At this time.
At this date. It is not, as some people mistakenly say, Bayamim Ohem. Ooh!
That's not entirely accurate.
I'm telling you what the Mishnah Berurah says.
Pasha has an article about this?
Yes. But I'm telling you what the Mishnah Berurah says. In other words, some believe that the bracha is God did miracles for our forefathers then, as He does miracles for us now. Apparently, that is not the bracha. David will send the link to this article he's referring to. But apparently, the meaning of the bracha is that you did miracles for our forefathers in those days, bazman hazeh, at this date, on Yudalid be Badar, on Kofhei. The Kislev. So here, Omer Abaye, Lo Shanu Ela L'Achareh, Mitzvah Levarech. There's a mitzvah to say a bracha, Vasher Kedusha, what we call a Birkat HaMitzvah, that has the phraseology, Vasher Kedushanu B'mitzvot HaVetzivanu. The Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvot, Kulan Mivarech Aleihem, Over La'asiyatan. All of the brachot, all of the mitzvot that we perform, asterisk, except for the ones that do not have brachot. And there are, of course, mitzvot that we perform that do not have brachot, but those are exceptions to the rule.
Well, there are also mitzvot that we do the brachot afterwards anyway, but there are also exceptions.
And there are certain brachot that we do the bracha afterwards.
Tefillah.
Tefillah is the one that's specified in the Gemara in Psachim. But what do we mean by tefillah?
For a ger.
For a ger. In other words, the ger, when he goes into the mikvah, he can't say the bracha beforehand, because until he goes into the water, he's not chayiv in the mitzvah. I mean, he's not mitzuveh, right? Netilat yadayim, we have this kind of like strange way of doing it, toch kedei, right? In other words, the mitzvah of netilat yadayim is you pour the water on, and then you say the bracha before you finish washing and drying, which may be for some related reasons. And what's the third? What's the third classic example? Hadlakat Nerot, Shabbat. Right? Because once you, Steve, you'll explain to us in a moment what your family minhag is. If you're listening on the recording, Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat is a problem. Because once you say, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvata V'tzivanu L'Adag Ner Shel Shabbat, presumably it becomes Shabbat. at least if you're a woman. The assumption is that with candle lighting, a woman accepts Shabbat and all the restrictions apply. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a man lights Shabbat candles, either because he's single, or because maybe his wife is away. Your wife was away. Did you light Shabbat candles?
My daughters did.
Your daughters did.
Thank God for daughters.
Those righteous daughters. Because maybe he lives like in an egalitarian home where the wife says Hamotzi and he lights the candles, whatever it is. But the Mishnah Berurah says that the chazoka is that a man who lights Shabbat candles is not Makabel Shabbat with candle lighting, since he's on his way to go Dava Mincha. Now, when we say a woman is Makabel at Shabbat with candle lighting, it doesn't have to be. She can stipulate that she's not being Makabel at Shabbat with candle lighting. Make it tonight. But since the status quo is that her candle lighting accepts Shabbat, since the very declaration of L'hadlik Ner Shel Shabbat itself might constitute an act of Kabbalat Shabbat, so this match which is in her hand, she can't light the candles with. So we have this thing where she lights the candles, but since you have to say the bracha beforehand, she doesn't look at the candles. She does this thing where she covers her eyes, and then she, you know, does this thing with the hands. It might have to do with the very practical way of getting the, you know, like when you, what is that called? Stoke the coals, or you take the bellows. In other words, enough, yeah, like on the mangal. It might just be that, you know, it gets the oxygen flowing, which gets the candles well lit, because if they flicker out momentarily, you know, which sometimes happens, mm-hmm. you know, like the candle like starts burning and then it goes out, and then it's chaval shelo dibarnu al Mashiach, chaval that we didn't make fun of the Mashiach. No, I set you up for your punchline. Mm-hmm. However, if a woman makes this tanai, or even if she just has kavana that she's not being mekabel at Shabbat, so technically speaking, she could say she could do the mitzvah over lasot tan. That is not, however, the widespread minhag. So my mashma, what does it mean over la'asiyatan? Dahai over lishna da'akdume. Over means to proceed. Over la'asiyatan means what? To proceed the act. Prior to ose, asiyat ha-mitzvah, prior to the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, you should say the bracha. Now, what's strange about the word over? It sounds like after. What could you have said that would have been much clearer? Lifnei asiyatan, kodem asiyatan. Over is a strange, the Gemara was already sensitive to the fact that this halachic expression, over la asiyatan, is a strange expression. Over lishna de akdumehu. Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar Kra. So then the Amorayim try to bring proof texts that establish this meaning for the word. Because they were aware of the idea that this shoresh, ayin vav resh, avar, what does the word avar means? Past. Not beforehand. But they bring psukim, says a pasuk in Shmuel, bet viyaratz achimatz derech hakikar viyavur et hakushi. There was a foot race, and Achimatz takes the short cut, and he is over the other runner, who seems to have been a person of color, and he gets there first. So you see that over la'avur mashu means that you got there first. Abaye Omar Mahacha. He has a different posuk. Vahu avar lifnehem. What's the context of that posuk?
Yaakov. When he's going.
That Yaakov, he lines up the family, and then he is over lifnehem, He jumps out in front of them so that he is the first to encounter Esav before old Uncle Esav gets there on his own. V'boyes Ema, and Abaye has another pasuk, Mehocha, V'avor Malkam Lifnehem V'Hashem Birosham. Right? Where V'Avor means that he passed in front, like, so Over means to pass, pass kind of implies past tense, no. But Over can mean also forward tense. It can also mean forward tense. But it still begs the question. Why not? In other words, you use a strange phrase, which might lead you astray. It might lead you to understand it being the exact opposite. But no, we show, like from these psukim, that it can also have this other meaning. So it's true, it could also have this other meaning, but that seems to be a secondary meaning. So, you know, this happened, like, what are examples of this? Things that like mean the thing and the exact opposite at the same time. It can be like in English there.
Like contronyms.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, you have any, actually the ones that come out of my head are Hebrew, like, you know, chitui and chet and
yeah.
But you have like, what's the word there? What's that word in English? I mean, it's pronounced differently, but it's. Like a sanction. You can sanction something that's you support it or you put sanctions on it, you're against it.
Right. So here it's the same kind of thing. So Mela, so why not choose the more precise term? Say Kodem L'Asiatan. Say Lifnei L'Asiatan. So it's possible that in other words, Over L'Asiatan is, this is what the Ritva says. The Ritva says that Over L'Asiatan is chosen because even though those other terms, Lifnei and Kodem, Over has one virtue that the others don't.
It's a verb.
What?
It's a verb.
It's a verb. Okay, but that doesn't... What does that get?
Because it like leads you right into the action.
Ah, so exactly. In other words, Over L'Asiatan implies immediately preceding. We just had this at dinner. We were having hamburgers. My 10-year-old, you know, like kids get this thing where they get ravenous. Like if they don't eat, they're going to die. They're going to like chew their arm off. So like the food finally comes and he's like waiting for like the food to be set on the table. He washes Netilas Yadayim, like as he's drying his hands like on his clothes and on his sister, like as he's running to the table, he's already saying Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvah V'Tzivanu Al Netilas Yadayim, like, you know, as the water is still coming out of the sink, and he's already saying Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz before he's gotten to the table. Right? So I think that's not what you... How are you supposed to say... I mean, besides, there's 1,000 things wrong with what he did. And if one day he's listening to this recording, he'll forgive me.
Washed and set on the dime and said Amotzi. Like, that's a good start.
I didn't say the data. That's right. Maybe this is taking place 10 years ago when my 20-year-old was not actually in Hebron defending the nation. How are you supposed to say Birchat Nehenin on food? Yeah,
when you're holding it in your hand.
When it's ready to go in your mouth. You don't say the bracha and then open the package, right? You don't say the bracha and then pour the glass. You have to have it ready. Ideally, if you're a righty, you have it in your right hand, you have it ready to go, both to minimize any hefsek, any interruption between the bracha and the actual consumption of the item, but also to show that this bracha that I'm saying is in praise for this very fine
hamburger.
Well, I was going to say small batch bourbon.
Also, so it shouldn't be a bracha batala, because you might, you
know, and yeah, and also something like a room. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Spoiled.
Right. So a similar thing with Birkot HaMitzvah. They have to be said before you do the act, but it should be done immediately prior to doing the act. Now, what is the purpose? We started discussing this last week. What is the purpose of Birkot HaMitzvah? Why did Chazal say, the Torah says do a mitzvah? Or we, Chazal said do a mitzvah. But you're about to do a mitzvah. What is the purpose of adding on a bracha prior to the recitation? So that's what we discussed last week, this idea of what is the Hinani Mukhana Mazumman, or the Hiratzons that sometimes
is
a declaration of Kavanah.
It's a declaration of Kavanah. And even though, as we've said many times, mitzvot einan tzrichot Kavanah, nevertheless, you should endeavor to have Kavanah. And this is precisely the difference of opinion between the Litvaks on one side and the Helig Sidim van Shemaisa on the other side. Litvaks don't say those Hinani Mukhana Mazumans, because that's what the bracha is. The bracha is the declaration of kavana, that you're aware that what you're about to do is mitzvah. The Ritva says, v'tam zeh shamru chazal varech al hamitzvot over l'si'atan. The reason that Chazal said, say those brachot immediately prior to doing the mitzvah, who kadesh yitkadesh tchila bivracha, so that immediately prior to doing the mitzvah, you should sanctify yourself with the recitation of a blessing. V'yigale v'yodia shehu oseh ota mipnei mitzvat Hashem yitbarach, and he should reveal and make known that he is doing this act because it is a mitzvah, because he is commanded. You might be hungry. You might be in the mood for a dry, tasty cracker on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Right? And what would separate your eating of the matzah from my eating of the matzah is that I had kavanah. Right? So the bracha is this declaration of kavanah. V'od, and in addition, says the Ritva, ki habrachot me'avodat hanefesh. This is a more, I don't know, spiritual idea, mystical idea, that reciting a bracha is a spiritual act. Right? It's a declaration, talking about your relationship to God and your self-identification as a mitzuveh, right? And an acknowledgement that we are sanctified through doing the mitzvot, and then you do some kind of physical act. Sometimes that physical act is itself a very gashmi type of thing, like eating a matzah, like eating a moror, like going to sleep in a nice comfy bed in the sukkah. But even if it's not something gashmi, let's say like taking the lulav, is something that's not inherently gashmi, I don't think.
Counting
the omer, right? But it's a physical act, right? It's a physical act, right? It's an act of speech. It's an act of tying something around your arm, of banging something into the doorpost. And by making this spiritual declaration, it transforms what is this physical act. Right? So that's what the Ritva says. That's what the Ritva says. The Nimuke Yosef says that over la siatan means ahead of the mitzvah. Right, those are the psukim, like the connotation of all those psukim about achimatz running ahead. You have a foot race. You have two people going one against the other. I got there ahead of you. Right, I crossed the finish line first. Right, this idea that the bracha jumps ahead and before the mitzvah act, before the reading of the Megillah, before the eating of the matzah. It means over l'asiatan. It means it jumps ahead, and not merely lifnei asiatan or kodem asiatan, before, prior to the mitzvah. And that indicates that you should already be involved in the mitzvah, whatever the hechsherei mitzvah are, the preliminary steps of the mitzvah are, wherever possible, prior to the reciting of the bracha. Right? So that you take the tefillin out of the bag and you put the tefillin on your arm. And when do you say the bracha? Right? You've already started doing tefillin things. You don't say the bracha and then open your tefillin bag. Right? You take the tefillin out, you unwrap it, you put it on your arm, and right before you cinch the knot, you say the bracha. You get it out, you're ready, you get it set up above your head, and you say the bracha right as you're put it. So as you start doing all the preparations for the mitzvah, you get it all set up, and then you say the bracha, and then boom. Right? That's what Over L'Asiyatan says. The Rambam says here, you see the Rambam Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yudav Halacha Hei. Ha'ose mitzvah velo birech. What if you do a mitzvah but you forgot to say the bracha? Could it happen? Could happen. You could eat the matzah without saying the bracha.
Pick up the lulav and accidentally hold it the right way before you start.
Exactly, the case we always talk about. Which is a problem for everyone in the world except the parishioners. Because the rest of the world picks up the lulav and etrog and holds the etrog upside down. With the pitam, with the pointy spitz pointing down. How would you translate pitam in a literary context?
There's a button. Yeah. Word for that.
Yeah. It's usually in an Agnon story that talks about somebody dropping their etrog and breaking the pitam. Someone mistranslated it as the stem. It's not the stem. The stem is the part that connects to the tree. It's the exact opposite. What? Yeah, so you can't use that in a thing. So
that's a little bit.
You know that.
That's on your banister.
So the suggestion was to translate to, apparently it's something called the nipple.
Well, that's where Hebrew word.
Correct. But I thought that would be too confusing for the reader. So I translated as the tip. That's true. So you hold the etrog up. In order to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to hold all of the species in a certain way. If you're holding the etrog upside down with the pitam with the tip pointing down, you can't be yotze. It's like putting the batteries in the toy backwards. It doesn't work. So you pick it up, you're ready to go. Then you say the bracha, al-natilat. Then you flip the pitam, and once you flip the pitam, the batteries are in, and now it's working. You were mekayim the mitzvah. But we know that what is the mitzvah of natilas lulav? What? Just hold them up. The whole waving and everything else, that's extra. But once you've picked them up, you're yotze.
Even upside down?
No, right side up. Right? You're yotze. So what is the minhag by the Kirshners? You solve the problem. It's too much of a hassle for you to pick up the lulav upside down and turn it over.
That drug upside down.
That drug upside down. So what do you do? You solve the problem.
On the table in front of us. You hold the lulav, make the bracha, you pick up the etrog.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? I've been doing that way for years. Is that what you're supposed to do?
Most people hold because you've been standing next to them.
You must be cousins.
So I thought it was just you just had negative kavana.
That's the grunt.
No. I pick up the etrog afterwards.
That's what I do.
That's what you do.
That's right.
Well, I thought you did like that. Like
that's a lot more complicated.
No. That you have negative kavana.
Say this is not...
You don't,
but
I'm
you
not
have to, you have to remember to do it all the time.
I'm nervous with the whole thing anyway. So,
so the Rambam says...
Much easier to just leave it in front of you. You pick it up, you make the bracha, and you pick it up. There are no mistakes.
So. Yeah. So the Rambam says, Ha'ose mitzvah velo birech. Im mitzvah she'adayin asiyata kayemet. Mivarech achar asiyah. What would be an example of that?
You could still do the mitzvah.
The sheva sukkah.
If not...
Oh, the sheva sukkah. You're sitting in the sukkah, you're having your coffee, you're reading the newspaper, you're learning from a sefer, and you forgot to say the sheva sukkah. When can you say the sheva sukkah?
As long as you're still in the...
This famous distinction between the kiyum ha-mitzvah and the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, something we've spoken about many times, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Reb Chaim, his grandfather, had elaborated on. There's certain mitzvot where there's a mitzvah act and a fulfillment of the mitzvah, and they are simultaneous. What is the mitzvah act, the maaseh mitzvah of lulav? To pick up the lulav. When have you fulfilled your obligation? Once you picked it up. It's simultaneous. Right? And it exists at one point. The fact that Chazal said, well, it's nice, you hold the lulav and you keep shaking it and you keep waving it, etc. But it's not like the taxi. What? You know, you get in a taxi, how much do you pay? Depends on how long the meter was going. However God keeps his books, for lulav you get a check or you get an X. You did it, you didn't do it. It's simple up or down vote. But that's not true about other mitzvot. Sitting in the sukkah, the meter is running. You're being mekayim the mitzvah from the moment you get in until the moment you leave. Eating the matzah. What's the act of eating the matzah?
Finishing the zayit.
Well, let's imagine that we're not really crazy chazonishnikim. It's eating a matzah. It's eating a piece of matzah.
Whatever kazayit. I'm not saying it has to be bigger than the zayit.
Let's assume it's like what you put in your mouth. And you chew and you swallow. When were you yotze? Gulp. When you swallowed. So if you swallowed your matzah, could you say the bracha afterwards if you forgot the bracha beforehand? Not according to the Rambam. Ve'im davar shavar hu eino miver. Ketzad harei shenita tef betzitzit. You put on it on your talus. O shelavash tefillin. That's an interesting choice of verb. What's the verb that usually goes with tefillin?
Hiniyach.
The Rambam here says lavash tefillin. O shiyashav besukah velo birech tila chozer umavarech achar shnita tef asher kedishanu b'mitzvatav v'tzivanu letatev batzitzit. You put on your talus, you forgot to say the bracha. As long as you're still wearing the talus, you can go back and say the bracha. Right? This happens. When does this happen? When do we rely on that opinion l'chatchila?
Every morning?
No, every morning you're careful tzitzit. To say the bracha.
And you put on your tzitzit. Your tzitzit.
Oh, that's different. Beseder, okay, that's a different... No, in other words, if you have to daven very early, which is more a case in the winter, you have to daven very early... Before the time of tzitzit, before the time of tefillin and tzitzit.
Before the 7:40 minyan?
You can put your talus on, but you don't say the bracha. And when it comes time for mishiyakir, the point in time from the earliest time for tzitzit, so then you say the bracha of this talus you've already been wearing. I mean, this is a bidyevit opinion which we rely on l'chatchila in that case. Right? So the Rambam says, "Over la siatan." What does the Rambam say about over la siatan? It's lechatchila, but it depends on how you define a siatan. Right? Over la siatan. Doesn't only mean, I mean, maybe at l'chatchila it means before you commence the act. But kol od, the mitzvah act is going on, you can and should still make the bracha. There is an opinion, which is a little hard to understand, the opinion of the Or Zeruah and the Shagas Aryeh, who are achronim against the Rambam.
Or Zeruah is a rishon.
What?
Or Zeruah is a rishon.
The Or Zeruah is a rishon. The Shagas Aryeh is a rishon. That Or Zeruah is only lechatchila, and if you eat the matzah, you forgot to say the bracha, you can say the bracha. Now, he doesn't specify, like, it doesn't mean like 3 days later. Probably doesn't even mean an hour later. probably means like it has to. But the Orzeruah says that the overless seitan is just a lechatchila, not a bidiyavet. The Rambam is not like that, and we don't paskin like that Orzeruah. We paskin like the Rambam that lechatchila you should say the bracha beforehand. But if it's an ongoing mitzvah, you can still say the bracha afterwards. This is what
from Hanukkah candles.
How?
Usually, you say the bracha, you say the first bracha, and then you say the second bracha. Why are you saying the second bracha? You're lighting the candle.
Except here we're talking about Birkot HaMitzvah. Here we're talking about the brachot that have the phrase Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvot Tav. The other category of brachot. Right, so that you say prior to
like
lighting. That you say prior to lighting
and
the candle.
That, you
no, so if you forgot that, then you
for half an hour for sure.
Certainly, as long as the candles are burning. What? No, that's the minimum.
Say you light the candles.
In other words, the din of Pesume Nisa is a half hour. If you put in an hour's worth of oil, so you get an hour's worth of Pesume Nisa.
So that's still being
mitkayim. Yeah, it's still being mitkayim, right? No, in other words, so what do you do with Ner Chanukah? You say the Birkat HaMitzvah beforehand. There are three types of brachot. Birkot nehnin. Before I eat the apple, I have to say Brei Pri Eitz. If I ate the apple and I hadn't said a bracha, I can't say the bracha afterwards. Birkot ha-mitzvah, the ones that have Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvot HaVetzivanu, prior to a mitzvah act. Those have to be said over la'asiyatan, immediately prior to doing the mitzvah act. And we saw the Rambam that in certain categories of ongoing mitzvot, like lulav, like tzitzit, not like lulav, like sukkah, like talit, so if you didn't say it immediately prior, you can still say it as long as you're still doing the mitzvah. There's a third category of brachot called shevach v'hodo'o. Chazal said that when you experience certain things, you should say a blessing. You see a rainbow, you should say a blessing. You hear thunder, you see lightning, you should say a blessing. You see the eclipse, you should say a blessing. Even if you're in Utah. I don't.
That's on your recording.
Is it the eclipse? Controversial topic.
He's my Rebbe on all things astrological. Astronomical.
I did that. Difference.
I did that on purpose. What bracha do you say for reading your horoscope?
There's a special bracha if you look at the eclipse without the glasses.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
What would the Rambam say about if you did pick up your love and trog and hold them together in your Makan Mitzvah, but you're still holding it?
Yeah, so in other words, with the Lulav and Esrog, you're still holding
because
it.
Already did the mitzvah, you can't.
It's not like sitting in the mitzvah. It's not like sitting in the sukkah necessarily. Right. The meter isn't running.
Right.
Right?
You got your veer.
You got your... Birkot Shevach V'Hoda'a are dafka said ex post facto. Right?
In most cases.
That's the point. That's at least according. According to the Briska Minog, how do we light the candles? You say Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvot Tzivanu L'Adonai Asher Chanukah. Then you light the first candle, and then after lighting the first candle, you say the She'asa Nisim L'Avoteinu, because the She'asa Nisim L'Avoteinu is the Birkat, is the bracha on the fact that God did this miracle. So Megillah is a kasha. Megillah is a kasha.
You can't talk in the middle of Megillah.
Right? But generally speaking,
what's the kasha for Megillah?
Because you're doing it before you start the Pirsumei Nisa. Because you can't do it like in the middle. But Nechanami, you could have said it. They could have been mitakin it afterwards. No. Shasa Nisim Avotenu is not a bigger than Mitzvah. Shasa Nisim is a Shevach Vahoda on the Pirsumei Nisa. So okay. So but sometimes you do it after. But that's why we have this brisker. Patent to first light the candle. You know, on the first night there's only one candle, but on all this on the last night, what do? You say you light the first candle, and then once the first candle has lit and you're moving down the line to get the second, third, fourth, etc., then you say Sha'asanism, which is why, by the way, if you are in a position where you cannot light your own menorah for whatever reason, but you can see someone else's menorah, you can say the bracha of Shah Senisim Lavosenu.
Right. You say it every time.
Each night.
No. If you don't say good morning,
No. One. It's we're only mitaken it once for the whole night. Right? In other words, if I light my own Hanukkah menorah and then I walk down the block, I don't say it again when I see somebody else's. Just the same way that every time you see, in a thunderstorm, you make one bracha and you don't say it for each clap of thunder. That's true for a lot of these brachot. They're like one-offs. Because what do you say? What are you making the bracha on? You're making the bracha on experiencing a phenomena.
So then you should do it. Let's say it's the other round. I've done it before. If you haven't got a chance to light yet, but you're waiting for your family to come back, and it's back in your life, a little bit later. In the meantime, you have seen another.
Yes,
so you've even been in someone's house. You were there, you heard them say the bracha.
So like if you're very machmir, some people think you should like have negative kavana. Right, maybe you shouldn't like look at it until. But I don't think we have to be so crazy because you should do the mitzvot in the normal way. Right, the normal way is you say your own bracha when you're lighting the candles. Right.
That's why I wore the eclipse glasses until totality, so I couldn't see anything.
Right. So when did Trump say? That's why he took the glasses off so he could say the say the bracha without like the without the chatzitza of the glasses. So that's what it is when you say those brachot only ever once a day. Like if you see a rainbow in the morning, and then again later in the afternoon, I think one bracha a day. The saying a bracha and seeing the ocean is once every 30 days, right? Because it's like a wonder, which kind of like if you see it every day, like if you live across, if you have ocean view from your apartment, it's a little less wondrous. Then
the rest of them you say more than once a day.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Shatza.
Okay. It's true. You'll always have a good example. I'm generally speaking. It's true. Okay. The Gemara goes on.
Hopefully it's not a lot of time to do it.
Lifaneha mai, what is the bracha you say before the Megillah? Rav Sheshit Mikatrizia. Where's Katrizia? You have the Steinsaltz there. What does he say? Okay, so wherever this place was, Rav Sheshis Mekatrizia. Ikle lekame de Rav Ashi. He goes to Rav Ashi. Uverech manach. Mazem manach. Rashi says manach is Rashi Tevot. Al mikra Megillah is the mem. Vishasa nisim is the nun. Vishchianu chet chayim is the.
That's worse than a gematria being off by one, by the way.
Right, well, it's also strange because Shechianu in a different... Shechianu appears in a different... as Yaknahaz. And there its nickname is Zion, right. For Zman. Right? So here it's Manach. It could have also been Manash. I don't know. So these three brachot. Lachareha mai mevarech, and what bracha do you say afterwards in the places where you're accustomed to say a bracha? I told you, you're here in time for
15 minutes.
Yeah, that's it's the 15-minute rule. Remember the 15-minute rule in college?
Teacher, 15 minutes late to leave. Is that
say there? We can be mekel. So mai mevarech, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. The word hakel is in parentheses because it does not appear in all of the girsaot. And in fact, what is the bracha?
Haravet
rivenu. We don't say the word hakel here. Haravet rivenu v'danet dinenu v'nalkeim et nikmatenu v'hanifra lanu mitzarenu v'hamshalem gmul l'chol oivei nafshenu baruch atah Hashem hanifra l'Yisrael mikol tzareihem. Period. Is that the bracha?
Hakel ha-Moshiach.
Oh.
And I think there's something else before the Baruch Atah Hashem at the end also.
So, Rava Amar, Hakel HaMoshiach. You end with, in other words, according to the Tanakhama, or according to the first opinion, not that it's not a Tana, according to the first opinion, the Bracha ends Baruch Atah Hashem, Hanifral Israel mikol tzareihim. God who causes, how would you say it? Repayment. Right? God who pays back the
exact vengeance.
No, that's not what Hanifra means, right? Payment. He pays him back. He gives him back good to the Mitzorim, to the people that cause anguish for the Jews. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hanifra li Yisrael mikol tzareihim. Rava says, no, the bracha ends Hakel HaMoshiach, that God is the
Savior.
The Savior. So Amar Rav Papa,
which is more important than vengeance.
Which is more, it's more, well, first of all, vengeance, I mean, even though vengeance is God's, we don't take vengeance, God takes vengeance.
Together too. Vengeance and
saved. Yeah, but if you give me a choice between being saved or having you kill the person who's about to kill me, no, you know what? I'd rather be saved. Thank you very much.
By killing the person, you're being saved.
No, you could be killed afterwards.
I could be killed afterwards.
Vengeance
could be afterwards.
Right. In other words, if somebody...
Survival is a good thing.
Hakam lo horgecha... Hashkema. Right, somebody's coming, you kill someone in self-defense. That's not an act of vengeance. That's an act of self-defense.
Right.
Somebody tried to get you. You're Michael Corleone.
Somebody does get you and your brother.
Okay, you're Michael Corleone, and afterwards you go and you whack Fredo. That's an act of vengeance. You're nothing to me.
You're just not a brother. The movie.
I ruined the movie.
How do you spoiler? Spoiler
ruined it for me.
The movie's been around for 50 years. You've had your chance.
Just kidding. I've seen it. Believe it or not.
Is there anybody? Drago kills Apollo, and then you go to Russia, you beat up a Drago. That's vengeance.
If
you threw the towel, that would have been salvation.
Why in Al Nisim Hanukkah talks about the Nikvatam and Dinam and here in Jidenu? I noticed that before. I always wondered about the reason for that. Why there it talks about
there it's in the third person, and here it's in the first person.
Dinam and the company Nikvatam, and here it's Dinenu and Nikvatenu.
That's a very interesting question. And it's first of all the two. This bracha and the Al Hanisim for Hanukkah, there's a parallel texts. But there it's the third person. We're talking about something. I don't know.
What was the question?
You understand the question? In other words, just say it again. Read the.
Well, it says here in the Al Hanisim for Hanukkah, it has. Ravtet Rivam Dante Dinam Nakamte Nikvatam, all about them, their things. And here it's Ravtet Rivenu Dante Dinenu Nakamte Nikvatenu. So it's talking about ours. So the difference between theirs and ours.
So Omer of Papa Hilch.
There it's Israel and Chutz Laretz.
No, then it should be opposite. That should be the opposite.
Except that where was the Takana enacted?
Well, the Brachot was enacted in
Chutz Laretz.
Certainly Purim was. I mean, more so.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. It's a good question.
One was for us and one was in Nistah.
So Omer Rav Papa,
Hilchach. That wouldn't change ours and theirs, though.
Omer Rav Papa, Hilchach Nimrinhu L'Trevayhu. Since it's a machlokas about how to end this bracha, we'll do both. It's a strange phenomenon that sometimes exists.
As long as it's Hakel Moshiach, it means just Hakel Moshiach. That whole thing is...
No, in other words, there's two brachot. So we'll do it. This is a strange phenomenon which sometimes exists in halacha. Usually, you have a machlokas, and we determine it. This is the halacha, that's not the halacha. Sometimes we say, we'll do both.
Rava is saying that the bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hakel HaMoshiach. With that, everything else, or he's saying it's
that instead of the chatima of the bracha is. In other words, it's the whole thing, but up until the chatima. In other words, the first opinion is Baruch Atah Hashem, and here's the machlokes. The first opinion is Hanifral Yisrael Mikol Tzareihem. Rava says once you get to the point, it's Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaMoshiach. So what is it Lamaisa? Both. Because of Rav Papa's splitting the difference. Hilchach nimru de trevayu baruch atah Hashem hanifral Yisrael mikol tzareihem mokel HaMoshiach. Okay, that's the bracha for the Megillah, which is not apparently was not a universal. Today it's a universal. I don't know every single Eda. Maybe there are places where they don't say that bracha after Megillah. Does anybody know? I don't know. But it's not universal. We say the Shachianu at night, and then we say it again in the morning. But it's a machlokus whether to say the Shachianu again in the morning, because we've already said the Megillah and the Ikar Megillah. Technically, we're already Yotzei the Megillah at night. So some say you don't say Shachianu again. That's why we always make that announcement in the morning.
For the Suda and,
yeah, you should have in mind the Shachianu we're saying now, parentheses, which we might not actually need to say. So have in mind this is for the other mitzvot hayom, for the Mishloach Manot, the Matanot Lev Yonim, and the Sudat Purim. Right, but there are places that don't say it. The Yekis don't say it. The Sfarim don't say it. Okay, the Yekis don't say it.
They don't make the announcement.
No, they don't. They don't say the bracha. They don't say the Shechianu anymore. The Gemara goes on. B'sheni v'chamishi. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah said B'sheni v'chamishi b'Shabbat b'mincha korin shlosha. On Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos mincha, there are three olim to the Torah, no more, no less. So the Gemara has this interesting little piece of Agadah that tries to figure out what the symbolism of three is. Hani shlosha keneged mi. What are these three olim symbolizing? What is the typological number three that this becomes the number, this becomes the template for how many people go to the Torah? Omar Rav Asi keneged Torah neviim chtuvim. Okay, that's three. Rava Amar keneged Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim. Which makes more sense?
Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim fits in with the Eliyot.
The fact that you call it Kohanim Leviim Yisrael, and the fact that we don't actually read from the Navi or the Ketuvim when we're reading from the Torah. Okay. Ela ha detani Rav Shimi ein pochetin me asara psukin beveit haKnesset. When you read on Sheni Chamishi and Shabbos Mincha, the smallest, the minimal amount of laning is 10 psukim.
Including Kohen Levi Yisrael.
And that's all together. All together. Whenever you take out the Sefer Torah, and that's the smallest laning you ever have, Melan, Shabbos, or Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, of course it's going to be more than 10 psukim. But for Sheni V'Chamishi, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos afternoon. So it's a small laning. Sometimes it's much longer. But the minimal amount of psukim to read at a public Kriyat HaTorah is 10 psukim. There's actually one exception to that. When? Which we read on Purim. The laning on Purim morning itself, which is about Amalek, has only 9 psukim. Some people actually have a custom to read, I don't remember which pasuk it is, but that you read that when the Shlishi goes up, he starts from the, they repeat the last pasuk of the Levi, so that altogether 10 psukim were read. But that's not, we don't do that here. That's not Corey's, Corey always lanes, because you're busy, you lane in the morning.
Yeah.
You lay in the Megillah in the morning, so Corey lanes in the Torah in the morning. He does not do that. When I once mentioned this to him, he'd never heard of it. But the Tosfos here, he yesh lo amal esmoch. He has the Tosfot here. You see the Tosfot, ein pochtin mesar psukin v'im tomar v'hare parshat amalek. Right? It's not stam, any parsha. It's what mesach are we learning? Megillah. At Purim morning we do this. What?
It's not Sheni.
I'm saying it, but any time, and that's the point. Oh, you want to say that Purim's an exception?
No, I mean, in other words, this is a template. When you're reading during the week, it might be a time that you're not reading, but I wouldn't necessarily have to have that.
No, but that's not what Rav Sheshit says. Ein pochatim yasara psukim bevet haKnesset. He doesn't specify which day. Anytime you have public Torah reading, you can never listen to him psukim, right? So Tosfot here explains that Purim is an exception because the reading of the parashat V'yavo Amalek, which happens to be 9 psukim, is a complete inyan. It's a complete self-contained topic.
There's so complete self-contained topics that are less than 10 psukim.
Yeah, but we don't have occasion to read them as part of the public Torah reading. Them and them alone.
Because we've chosen not to.
Okay. Okay. So in other words, but the point here is that the theme of Amalek was more central as the chosen theme of the Kriya for Purim morning. And since that particular parasha is only 9 psukim, so then that's an exception to the rule. But what is this? The theme of 10 psukim is you need a complete topic or 10 psukim, whichever is
shorter.
It happens that there's only one case where the complete topic is shorter than the 10 psukim. Rosh Chodesh has more. Yeah, because remember you read about Shabbat also when you read about...
Why do we read about Shabbat also?
It is four leaves.
Okay, that's why.
So the Gemara goes... Wait.
We repeat some.
Right, that's a later... That's a topic that's coming up in the Gemara, why we have these strange minhag on Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara goes on... Vaydaber ole min haminyan... As ein pochetin mi yasara... Psukim beveit haKnesset. Vayedaber ole min haminyan. Hani asara kneged mi. Omer Reb Yehoshua. So there are a lot of times where you have a posuk which is hardly a posuk at all. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. It sometimes appears as a standalone posuk. So you might think that for the purposes of 10 psukim, that doesn't count. And the Gemara says, no, that counts as a posuk. Hani asara k'neged mi. So what's the symbolism of the 10 psukim you need to read? So Omer of Yehoshua ben Levi, k'neged asara batlanim shebeveit haKnesset. At the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara had talked about this idea that a proper community has 10 guys that sit around. The batlonim, they're not batlonim bums, they're batlonim, they don't have to go to work. They sit and they learn. That's a mark of a real community, that you can support a group of people.
Some communities are more machpi.
Some people are very machpi. So that you can support a community that sits and learns. So those 10 people learning is where you get this idea of 10 people. Rav Yosef Amar Keneged Aseret Adibrot Shnei Emru LaMoshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Levi Amar Keneged Asera Hilulim Shamar David B'Sefer Tehilim. At the end, the last 5 prakim of Tehilim all start with Hallelujah and end with Hallelujah. So those 10 Hallelujahs are the 10. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Keneged Asera Ma'amarot Shebehem Nivra HaOlam. The 10 statements with which the world was created. Hai ninhu vayomer debreshit hani tisha. But wait a second. The ten times it says in Maaseh Bereshit vayomer, right? Vayomer Hashem, vayhi or. That's one. You can go and count. If you count them up, how many do you get? You get 9. So where's the 10? There's no, the word Bereshit itself is one of the 10. Nami mamarhu. Okay, well, we'll stop there, and we'll pick up next. So next week Tuesday is not Rosh Hashanah.
No, yes,
Rosh Hashanah is Wednesday.
Week after,
so we'll meet next week.